ராமாய ராம பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாயாஹ பதயே நமஹ. அயோத்யா காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 26. சீதா, ஐ கோ டு தி ஃபாரஸ்ட். ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. Rama received the hearty blessings of his mother, saluted her in all reverence, and took his way to the woods, treading the path of dharma. His noble perfections won the hearts of the people as he proceeded along the royal road, blazing in his splendor. Meanwhile, Sita had finished the fasts and vows connected with the approaching coronation of her husband, and sat in joyful expectation, absolutely innocent of the cruel circumstances that prevented it. She doubted not that the happy function would come off in a few hours. Her worship offered to the beneficent gods, she awaited with a joyful heart the arrival of Rama amidst the royal paraphernalia of the chamaras, the umbrella of state, the throne, auspicious music, elephants, horses, chariots, infantry, and retinue. For she was mindful of the royal usage that the queens of consecrated kings should offer worship at the feet of their lords with flowers and perfumes. Rama entered his palace and sought her presence. He bent his head a little, bowed down with shame at the sight of his servants, so busily happy with the gay decorations towards his coronation. Sita's loving eye noticed, even at a distance, the wan face and disturbed heart of her lord. She sprang from her seat in vague apprehension and trembled like a leaf to think, "What has happened to my lord and husband that he comes not to me cheerful and happy, but is bowed down with grief?" Sorrow and misery were unknown to Rama till then. He grieved past bearing to think of the grief his news would cause Sita. His courage deserted him quite as he said to himself, "What will become of Sita, all innocent of sorrow and misery, when I go away from here to the forest? Time will hang very heavy on her hands." He became a prey to anxiety, and his face was shorn of its luster. Drops of perspiration rolled down his body when he thought, "How shall I have the heart to tell her that the crown, almost within my grasp, has slipped through my fingers and that I am condemned to a long exile?" Sita watched him while he battled manfully with his grief and said, "O light of my life, how is it that I see you cast down with anxiety on an occasion of unprecedented joy? Have not the saintly Brahmanas declared that the moon dwells today with the star Pushya ruled over by Brihaspati, that success and fortune crown any enterprise undertaken during the auspicious period, and that the same has been chosen for your consecration? Then why grieve when you should rejoice? Your countenance gleams not forth under umbrella of state, white as driven foam and spread over 100 golden ribs. Where are the chamaras, bright as the full moon or the stately swan, that should graze on either side of your lotus-eyed countenance? Why hear I not the sweet strains of bards, minstrels, and heralds and panegyrists, chanting your glories in noble terms? I see no signs of consecrated head having been sprinkled by learned and holy Brahmanas with sacred water mixed with honey and curds to the majestic chant of benedictive hymns. Where is your retinue of ministers of state, royal officials, heads of guilds, citizens and provincials in brave attire? The chariot of state precedes you not, drawn by 4 noble steeds flashing with gold and gems? Where is a royal elephant endowed with every auspicious mark that should majestically walk in front of you like a huge mountain afoot, crowned with dark rain-charged clouds? Why do they not carry before you the gem-encrusted Bhadrasana that should precede the hero? I am sure that the preparations towards your installation are all completed. How is it that a cloud of sorrow dims the dazzling radiance of your countenance? I do not read therein the least sign of joy that should ever reign in your heart." Thus she wept and cried. When Rama raised his reluctant eyes to her face and said all gently, "Sita, my father, who is a god unto me, has sent me to the forest. But a terrible fear came over him as he thought, "Alas, fool that I am to break upon her with this grievous news. God knows that what will become of her." And he set about to soothe her and encourage her. Sita, daughter of King Janaka, the wise, from whom no mystery is hid, O peerless woman, to whom dharma of kings, of castes and orders is an open book, sure and certain, unparalleled in the perfect practice of the highest dharma, it came about thus. My father had arranged everything to install me as heir apparent today, when my mother Kaikeyi reminded him of the two boons he had granted her of yore and prayed their fulfillment. He plighted his faith to her, and she desired that I should abide in the forest for twice 7 years, and that her son Bharata should rule in my place. My sire, the soul of truth and a loyal servant of Dharma, acceded to her request. I regard it my highest duty and most imperative to see my father's promise fulfilled. I go hence to dwell in the forest for 10 years and 4. I come here to inform you of this and bid you farewell. Persons in exalted positions and in the enjoyment of boundless wealth and power find it hateful to hear another praised in their presence. Have a care that you are not betrayed into eulogizing me when Bharata comes to you to pay his respects. You will do well not to expect higher respect and consideration than what is accorded now to the wives of Lakshmana and Shatrughna. Nor should you show yourself behindhand with our kinsmen in your affection and solicitude for his welfare. The king has invested Bharata with the powers of heir apparent. He is ruler over us, and it is meet that we should seek to deserve his pleasure and approbation. I go to the dark forest and abide there for 14 years to keep my father's plighted word. O brave heart, need I pray you be firm and constant in your love to me? You will spend your time in pious exercises, fasts and penances, while I abide in the forest among the rishis. Begin the day with offering devout worship and due to the bright gods. Lay your head in humble reverence at the feet of my sire and the monarch. My mother Kaushalya is very, very old. It is no wonder that she will suffer terribly the pangs of separation from me. If you desire to practice the highest and the noblest dharma that could ever fall to the lot of one, devote yourself to her service. Not that you should in any way lessen your love and friendship towards my other mothers, you should all the more ward off harm and evil from their side. I have till now received from them such rare affection and consideration. I make no difference between them and Kaushalya, the mother that bore me. Bharata is to you an elder brother and Shatrughna your son. Know you not that they are dearer to me than my own life? Never do anything that Bharata does not approve of. He is your king, none higher than he. He is the absolute lord and master of this realm. He is the head of the Ikshvaku line. If we bestir ourselves to consult the wishes of a king and adapt ourselves to their likes and dislikes, we are sure of their love and confidence, else we incur their wrath and suspicion. They put away from them the very sons of their loins if they apprehend evil through them. Good men and faithful are ever sure of their welcome and favor, whether they be of their kith or not. So, center your heart upon dharma, busy yourself in the practice of fruitful vows and observances. Stay here seeking to win the love and trust of Bharata. Life of my life, I go to the forest. I pray you abide here. I request you once more to practice the few precepts I drew your attention to, taking care not to cause harm or grief to anyone. So spake Rama, as if he desired to place before her the dharma of a model wife in the absence of her husband, but in reality to know her heart and rouse her wrath and opposition. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunabdi Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.